So today, the computer is changing our world. The way we do business, the way we travel, the way we communicate with each other.
Quantum particles tend to behave in a way unlike anything you could see with your own eyes. Some particles can teleport. Others are connected over vast distances. It's sci-fi territory, crazy. Yet, it is all happening right under our noses. Even though these particles are incredibly small, and it therefore will be easy to sort of pretend as if they were not real, they actually exist within the boundaries of our universe, obeying the laws of quantum physics, some of which we do not yet fully understand. Even so, scientists have been looking into designing quantum materials of their own. For instance, they asked, what if we could transport electricity using a room temperature superconductor? Well, that sounds amazing, but you'd need quantum to perform that magic trick. And we're not quite there yet. Or are we? My guest on the show today, Anna David, will explain. She will also tell us about how this all ties into her research on neural networks and machine learning. My name is Michiel, and this is Computers Don't Bite, a podcast by the Leiden Institute of Advanced Computer Science. In this show, I ask computer scientists what on earth they're doing. Anna, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome to Computers Don't Bite.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Yeah. It's going to be a I think, quite difficult episode to understand. So I thought we'd just start at the very, very, very basic level at the very beginning and how you ended up here.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bumpy geographically road. So I'm from Poland. That's where I did my studies in biotechnology and chemistry. Then I decided that what I like best is working with computers, because they're the most reliable objects on Earth.
Contrary, that's your experience with computers?
Well, you know, try experimenting with proteins and then you're like, computers are fantastic. So yes, that was, I was much drawn to numerics and the fact that I can repeat the same experiment twice and get the same answer. That's fantastic. And when there is a mistake, it's always on you. Like, that was my feeling. So I felt like I can have a better control over my work environment, which was great. So then I went into quantum physics, which maybe doesn't sound like a computer science thing, but modern quantum physics makes progress because of computation. So very complicated numerical methods. So working with a computer is a must, basically, right now. But this love for computers, I think, drew me into neural networks. Maybe also love for science fiction, because, you know, it sounded really exciting and strange. In 2016-17, it was when AlphaGo won with one of the Go masters. That's when I get drawn.
This is interesting that you bring this up, because I've been talking to a bunch of computer scientists, as you know, for this show. This moment often comes up, the AlphaGo moment. Can you explain a little bit, just in a nutshell, what that moment represented? What happened?
Yes, sure. So I think the importance of this moment is that we've seen already computers winning with chess masters, right? With Kasparov, Deep Blue won in the 90s.
Yeah.
But you can think of this Deep Blue as a brute force search for solutions. And you can do that because chess are not that complicated. And you have, let's say, finite number of placements of figures on the board. While with Go, it's much, much more complicated game, and there's no way of storing all the possible configurations in your memory. Yeah. So the AlphaGo moment was when one of the DeepMind designed a neural network. They called it AlphaGo. And it won with a master in the Go game.
It beat a master, yes, a Go master, at its own game.
Exactly.
A human. And so this was like a huge shock to the basically entire computer science community.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And you remember what you felt or thought when you read the news?
I thought that, you know, maybe we're getting closer to a science fiction world mm-hmm. when there is a AI talking with you and solving your task and then maybe solving some scientific tasks. So
already then your mind went to, oh, this is AI in the making. This is,
I think so. But I think many people thought the same. So I wasn't original in that moment.
No.
However, I was surprised that not more physicists turned into AI. I think that was, I mean, the reason why I'm here also is I was lucky to, I guess, love science fiction and get into this field very early.
And that's how you ended up eventually in Leiden?
Yes, and in computer science department. So my PhD was in quantum physics, but very focused on neural networks and numerical methods. And half of it was in Warsaw in Poland and the other half in Barcelona in Spain.
I read on your bio that you're not just into computer science, you're also interested personally in games and also in theater. Tell me about it.
Yes, so I have theater actors in my family and they drew me into musical theater actually very early. But for the games, I would say maybe my husband mostly drew me into this world.
He's board games?
Video games.
Video game.
He's a video game designer.
Okay.
And what I love most is the narrative video games, so where you can immerse yourself in the story and it's basically interactive book, but then you can have a control over what's going on.
So there's a lot of creativity also going on in your world.
Hopefully.
And which maybe also sometimes can inspire you?
Oh, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
I mean, having world beside your work is also great for your work, actually.
Yeah.
So that's what I always try to tell my students. Don't do over hours. Save some space in your brain. Because I think there's one of the very interesting mechanisms I noticed as a scientist is letting the problem sit and it boils in the back of your brain. And I don't know how it does it, but subconsciously you're solving problems sometimes. So
I think that's great advice. And then you're probably also like in the long term thinking about quantum mechanics, the musical, right?
Oh my God. Absolutely.
What would that sound like? What would that sound like?
Yeah. I don't know if we're ready for it.
Okay. No. I don't, maybe nobody ever will. So we're going to be talking about this project you did for or are doing for LIUX called Tetris CNN. My mind automatically goes to the Tetris game invented in Russia in the 80s and CNN, the TV show. Probably has nothing to do with either one of them. But I think for our listeners, because I was reading up on this research and I really couldn't understand anything. So I thought it would be a great idea or a good idea to take a few steps back and start at a little bit at the beginning, which means we have to delve into, I think, two concepts. First being the quantum realm, quantum mechanics, and the second being neural networks. So quantum mechanics is basically we're studying really, really small things, correct?
Yes. So on one hand, this is a study, of course, of small particles, but the most interesting part is that they tend to behave in a way that is not observable for like classical billiard balls in the real world. So they have some strange, almost magical behaviors, like they can teleport, they can be connected over huge distances, and
that's entanglement, right?
Exactly. Oh, you're very well versed. Yes, indeed.
I know some words. Entanglement, superposition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there are these effects that do not happen in classical world. And as a result, these sets of quantum particles can together behave in a way that is not accessible for classical materials. And for example, have behaviors like room temperature superconductivity. So there are behaviors of groups of particles that maybe we would like to design and take advantage of. I mean, superconductivity in room temperature is like the goal example, the holy grail of the field whose aim is to design quantum materials. And I think it maybe speaks the best to like our everyday experience, because if you send electricity across, cities with wires, you have huge losses.
Friction, heat, all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you would have this room temperature superconductor, you would be able to transport electricity without loss. It would be a huge boost for the...
Such a crazy concept.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's really possible because of this quantum behaviors.
If only we understood it.
Exactly. So we have good models that do not apply to materials that we found have room temperature superconductivity. So we have idea how superconductivity works, but it's not enough. we need some other ideas to really explain the things we found in nature, let's say. So there is this gap in the knowledge. We have certain ideas, but not full understanding.
Great. Second concept. When I think about a neural network, I just think about a computer program or model that is designed like a human brain. Is that somewhat correct, or am I way off here?
People often use this analogy. I think it's good for like the first understanding. So there is this idea of network of connections, and that's also what happens in human brain. But I would say this is the end of the analogy. Indeed, it's a computer program. You can think of it as something that gets some input, for example, an image, and gives you some answer at the end.
So you put something in, you put in data, something happens,
yes.
And then you get a result.
Yes, exactly. And I'm very curious about what is the something.
What the something is. Which
yes.
Is like it's the black boxy part of
yes.
the process.
And I think for many applications, it's okay that it's a black box for me, because I want to use them for scientific problems and learn something new about physics. I really need to open this black box. And in particular, what I found is it's really hard to open the black box in a reliable way. So instead, I try to design a gray box, let's say. So by knowing some elements of the problem, you can design your network from the start in such a way that when it works, you see where the signal goes through the connections.
You can follow.
You can follow and yeah. You can see, oh, that's the element it's looking at.
Okay.
So you can make sense of it. It's much more difficult if you have a general problem. But I noticed that with physics problems where we already have some prior knowledge, it's much more doable. And that's how we get into this TETRI-CNN, which is exactly this gray box for one of the quantum problems, which is detecting different quantum behaviors for groups of particles.
So if you were to sort of give me a definition of a neural network, what would it be?
There are many definitions I could go for. But for hopefully this crowd, let's say it's a black box that gives you some output depending on the input. And that's it. And then there is learning procedure that you can use this model for. So like neural network is not about learning per se, but usually we use it in the context of learning.
So let's say you have this neural network and you feed it like thousands of images of cats. And every time you're telling it, hey, this is a cat you're looking at, or this is a cat, then through trial and error, maybe it learns, or maybe you give it advice, you manually add information to the input you're giving it. And then at some point, it is able to recognize cats on its own.
Exactly. Yeah. So
accurately.
This is training procedure in which neural network learns about the problem. And the big thing about machine learning, in contrast to, let's say, standard programming, is that you give instances and it learns from examples of solved tasks. So you don't tell it exactly when an image presents a cat. Usually there will be this fluffy tail. It has whiskers. No, you don't list any features. You don't give it any knowledge. You just give instances, and it needs to learn and figure out these features of the data on its own.
Yeah. So now we have these two general things. The fact that quantum mechanics exists, quantum physics, it's there. And then you have this idea of a neural network. And now you're basically combining these two worlds into a project, or these two worlds sort of overlap in your project?
Yes, I think I would say not even one project. It's basically a whole
research field
right now.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're trying to use machine learning to understand better quantum physics, or just optimize quantum experiments, or make progress in quantum physics.
Yeah. Speaking of progress, like when I open Google or read the news, there's a lot going on.
Yes.
I think recently the Chinese had some kind of breakthrough in quantum teleportation.
Yes.
I think I saw somewhere that we traveled back in time for 1 second at one point. So where are we at right now in quantum research field?
You're not asking simple questions. So people say that we are...
It's exciting times.
No, absolutely. I think it's a great moment to be in quantum. And the reason is that we have tools to really probe quantum and understand quantum. That's one thing. But now we gained enough of understanding to manipulate quantum to do what we want. So especially exactly this quantum teleportation or beginnings of quantum computers, this is exactly harnessing quantum for some applications that will be useful for all of us and not only for fundamental understanding of the world.
Because for a long time, and probably still, that's the sort of the big challenge for quantum? Like, we know it's supposed to be awesome, but what can we use it for?
That's true. However, I would say we are not selling quantum physics enough, because if you think of transistors, if you think of lasers, yeah, this is already, you know, outcomes of quantum mechanics. So we already delivered, I didn't do anything in the 70s, but we already delivered cool breakthroughs.
Yeah. So scientists are basically a little bit terrible at pitching this.
Oh, we are, in general, terrible at pitching science, yes. Okay.
Well, speaking of pitching stuff, pitch me your project. The Tetris CNN, what is it?
Yes, so maybe...
So it has nothing to do with either Tetris or CNN?
No, you were like 50% correct. So it actually has exactly to do with Tetris, the game.
Yeah.
The CNN, it's a type of a neural network that was designed to exactly process images. So its specialty is mapping image to an answer. Cats to class cat, dogs to class dog. So CNN is convolutional neural network.
Convolutional meaning?
It's a mathematical operation. You can think of it as having a local sliding window that goes over your image and takes what's most important within this sliding window. So you're convolving image from something, from your original image to some smaller image. It's like coarse graining. Maybe coarse graining is a better analogy. So you coarse grain, but following your sliding window of view. And importantly, the coarse grained outcome will depend on the shape of this window. And now we're coming to the Tetris part. Yeah. So as you maybe remember, the Tetris was about putting together very different geometric shapes. So Tetris CNN is exactly this convolutional neural network that has a sliding window, but sliding windows of very different shapes and sizes. In other words, what it can do is when it makes this coarse-grained version of the image, it will be looking at different patterns in the image. And because it will be doing many patterns at the same time, and I can see which pattern it prefers, it tells me which pattern was important for its prediction. So that's how it became the gray box.
Which is the way you can sort of follow...
Exactly, how the signal goes through the network.
Right.
So when I see that the branch with this shape is where signal goes, I know that this shape is important for the data. If it chooses some other branch with some other shape, I know that this shape is important for the data.
So what are you hoping to achieve with this project? What's the goal?
The goal here is to push forward one of the fields of machine learning for quantum physics. Because we noticed quite early, okay, these networks are fantastic for classifying images. And actually, we have quantum experiments that can take pictures of quantum particles. So let's just take these pictures of quantum particles that have different quantum behaviors. For example, under these conditions, they are superconducting. Under these conditions, they are isolating. So different physical behaviors. And let's see if neural network can tell us that's these particles behave like this, these particles behave like this. So basically cats and dogs problem,
yeah,
right?
Trying to understand these particles and,
yes,
their behavior. Yeah.
And what turned out, they are fantastic in doing that. So they can see dogs and cats, or superconducting dogs and isolating cats.
Your network is actually good at it.
Yes, yes. And many people notice that, and they are trying to apply it for various quantum models and quantum experiments. The thing I'd like to improve upon is that our black boxes so far were telling us this is phase A, this is phase B. And I would love for them to tell me this is superconducting and this is isolating. So I would like it to tell me what's the difference between A and B, what kind of physical behavior it sees. So I want to learn physics from it.
What's the deal with these phases again?
A phase is a simple concept. It has to be a group of particles. It's always about many, many particles, many objects. And it's about their common behavior. For example, a thing that we learn in school is water that can be in different phases.
Gas, liquid,
exactly,
solid. Yeah.
And these are, you know, many, many particles of water that they have different density. And depending on what kind of pressure you put on water, what kind of temperature, they exhibit different behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing you can do with quantum particles.
Okay.
Just they're maybe more interesting, exotic.
Their
phases
are wild.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
And maybe interesting for technology as well.
Yeah.
So
what your Tetris CNN is trying to do is you're trying to teach it, or it's trying to teach itself to determine the phase of these groups of quantum particles.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that sounds really, really interesting. And what's next, or where are you right now with this project?
Yes, so we have a proof of concept that we were very proud about, but it was done on data that we simulated on a computer. Right. So there was no experimental noise, no imperfections, no nothing. And in this setup, the network works perfectly. It teaches us what we already knew was in the system. So this is
it's all very controlled.
Yes. Yeah. And now what we are doing is we're working with our collaborators in Paris who are experimenting exactly this quantum, doing quantum experiments. And we got the data from them from a system that is called Rydberg atoms. These are special atoms that behave like, maybe let's not go into detail actually.
So you got real life data.
Yes, real life data of true quantum system that they control in a lab and build in a lab. And what's really cool, but also scary, is the moment when we applied the network on this real data, lots of things started to happen. And I would say this is a recurring theme in my research because I develop things that I want to in the end apply to experiment. Mm-hmm. And proof of concepts work perfectly. And then experimental data with its noise, with its imperfections, with its disorder, everything, just machine learning goes poof and suddenly it's not as powerful as we thought.
Yeah.
So
that's the challenge now.
That's the challenge. So I think that the current state of affairs is quite interesting and we need to really think hard with our theorist friends because the network is indicating that there are phases, yes, but it's predicting the phase transition point, so place where the phase change into another, in a different place than quantum theory predicts. So
it's also a matter of who's right.
Exactly. I mean, I can look inside the network and I know why it thinks so. So that's a big, big jump because I can tell my friends, okay, look, this is why the network thinks. But then they look and it doesn't agree with quantum theory. So who's right, really?
Right. So it sounds like you developed an amazing research partner.
I'm hoping, yes. Yeah. I think now we can really be partners with theorists who are maybe less computer inclined because I can give them an equation from the network. Network tells me what's the geometrical pattern and I can map it into equation. And they feel much more comfortable with equations and they can trust equations.
It's more universal language to
Absolutely.
Communicate in. Yeah. Exciting times in the quantum research field.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Computers Don't Bite, a podcast by the Leiden Institute of Advanced Computer Science. A fresh episode will be waiting for you in 2 weeks.